This is Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.
I'm Johnny Hart. This is the Market Insights Market Pulse podcast. Let's join Trader Nick in the USA to look at all the news around today's markets. Nick, good afternoon from London. Good morning to you.
Hey, Johnny. Good morning.
I suppose the big story of the day so far, Nick, is the ADP report, which shows that private payrolls have declined in September. Now, this is ahead of what we were hoping, we still are hoping, is going to be a Friday jobs report in non-farm payroll. But because of the government shutdown, we might not have that. So this report is actually perhaps even more important than it normally is.
Yeah, that's right. We've got ADP number that came in today, much lower than expected. And actually, it's even worse than initially suspected. I'll break it down here. Basically, we forecasted economic community forecasted about 50,000 jobs to be added to the U.S. economy and the private payroll sector. What actually appeared was a loss of 32,000 jobs. Now, just quick math, that is 80,000 jobs less than what was forecasted. But there's another layer to this. The previous numbers, which was 54,000 jobs added, they revised that down to minus 3,000. So if you tally up all the job difference, just kind of in today's report, we're basically showing a mix of, well, let's do the quick math, that's 80 plus 50. That's 130,000 swing in the jobs count just from this morning's ADP number. So it was a meaningful slide in terms of jobs data. And will this increase the probabilities of Fed rate cuts? Very much so, it will. However, the interesting thing is this taken as a positive or negative by the stock market? And actually, interestingly, the data point when it initially released was taken as a negative. We saw the market drop. It has since rebounded a little bit, but just kind of an interesting thing to think. You know, the stock market, the markets have been cheering this idea of rate cuts, but the Fed cutting rates because the economy is just sort of cooling off is okay. But the Fed cutting rates because the jobs market is showing real weakness, like, you know, maybe something is wrong, that's a different story. And so, yes, ADP numbers came in very weak today, and it was a pretty big surprise to the downside.
And in our ongoing good news is bad news and bad news is good news debate, this is an interesting turn, isn't it, really? Because as you said, there is a kind of tipping point, isn't there, where a loss of jobs to this extent suggests that the economy is in decline, in proper decline, rather than just a cooling off. So even though, yes, markets like the idea of interest rate cuts, they certainly don't want some sort of potential recession on the horizon.
Right. I mean, the long story short is the stock market loves the idea of rate cuts with no recession. The stock market really does not favor the idea of rate cuts because there is a recession taking place. So that is where we want to draw the fine line. However, to be on the more optimistic side, GDP growth for Q2, we remember from last week's reporting that we had a 3.8% quarter over quarter growth. I mean, that is a surprisingly very, very strong number for the U.S. economy. So there's something to take for everybody. People who are more concerned will point to the labor data just having the dominoes falling. And people who are more optimistic about the economy will say, well, you've had some good growth metrics. Speaking of which, we did get manufacturing PMI data points this morning. ISM manufacturing PMI came in just a tick higher than expected. Forecast was 49 on the dot. We got 49.1. This is up from the previous, but not super exciting. We know manufacturing has been in contraction for the better half of the last few years. So, continuing to watch that. And just for context, we do also get on Friday, the services PMIs about an hour and a half after we're tentatively supposed to get the non-farm payroll number. So we'll see if we get that.
Yeah, we were talking before we started the podcast, wondering what the likelihood of not getting the US jobs numbers on Friday, because as we know, this government shutdown is focusing on quote unquote non-essential services. But we have had government shutdowns before, but I cannot remember what happened last time.
Yeah, I mean, the last time we had one was around 7 years ago. It was also under Trump, and we had some under Obama and under Clinton. So this is something that happens you know, periodically in government stuff. You know, both sides want to get their point across, both sides don't want to yield anything, and then, you know, people start not getting paychecks, and that starts to make everybody a little bit uneasy. So, you know, we'll see if anything is different this time around. I saw some interesting stats in terms of market reactions. Typically, there's not a very big one to market to government shutdowns, which may sound kind of counterintuitive. You think, oh wow, the government's shutting down, that should be a big deal. Usually for the stock market, at least, not a huge mover. The dollar is a little bit weak into the expectation or to the shutdown. We also see gold and silver continuing to move higher on that uncertainty. But I don't think it really wavers, you know, corporate profits, which is why stocks don't move too much, historically speaking, on these types of events. Granted, though, you know, there are some other positives that are taking place. I guess depends on who you ask, but oil prices are down another 1.4% today, which may help with the inflation story. So there's a lot of things happening at once today.
And finally, Nick, gold has hit yet another all-time high. Silver's not doing too badly either.
Yeah, and probably one of the most, I think it is maybe the most incredible run-up in gold prices that we have had for many years. Really this thing started kicking off in late 2023, where gold prices from the lows, if you remember, Johnny, that was, of course, the breakout of what was going on in the Middle East, the incursion into Israel. Actually, right around that time, we saw gold prices bottom out, start to move higher, and they have proceeded to essentially double and more so than that since those that October 7th day, which is kind of an insane move in such a few years. I mean, gold prices to double that quickly is a big deal for a precious metal that usually is mostly boring in terms of its price moves. So very, very volatile. Silver too, as you've mentioned, hitting a multi-year high, many years actually, over a decade high, and eyeing up, it looks like you've got both gold and silver eyeing up some really interesting technical levels, specifically $50 an ounce silver and $4,000 an ounce gold. Both of those seem to be the next major milestone for gold and silver. We'll see if they can continue without having some kind of pullback. I think eventually they will inevitably make those moves. Just a matter of, is it going to be in the short term or is it going to be in the long term that they get up there? As we know, they continue to print fiat currency, but they cannot print more gold and silver. You have to mine it out of the ground. So, you know, the overall trajectory for gold and silver this year and the last year and the year before that has mostly just been to the upside. We've had pauses and stutters, but for the most part, gold and silver continue to move higher on a number of key factors. I mean, some of the obvious ones are, you know, the mistrust in the U.S. dollar, the trade stuff going on. We also see central banks buying aggressively when it comes to gold and silver, which has been a theme in the East, but has now also taken shape in other places as well, with some uncertainty around what's going on with the U.S. and its trade partners. So that's a big factor. We also have a global easing cycle. We see central banks cutting interest rates, not just in the U.S., but in other places, and inflation has really come down from where it was. So these things act to support interest rate cuts. And also that is a, you know, more fiat currency being flooded into the system is typically perceived as a very positive thing for precious metals.
Nick, thanks very much for joining us today. We'll speak to you again on Friday.
Thanks, Johnny.
Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.